And joined on the hotline right now by the one and only Ian Asprey, whom I've had several conversations with over the years. Always nice to talk to you, Ian. Welcome back.
Pleasure. Nice to speak to you.
Tell me a little bit about the Cult Electric 13 tour. Why did you decide to go out and do? I know you did the Love Live thing. Was just this sort of the next logical progression?
Well, nothing's logical what we do. We're not that clever. The real context for this is David Bowie doing Low about 15 years ago in London. And when David Bowie did Low, obviously Bowie's ahead of everybody. You know, he foresaw this situation coming. But Billy at the time said, remarked to me, said, you know, it would be great if we played the Love album at the Royal Albert Hall, which is a very prestigious venue in London, the 19th century, like, opera hall. And we thought that would be a really cool thing to do for us, for our fans, et cetera. So once we announced we're going to do the Love album at the Royal Albert Hall, then that became a tour because there's so much interest. So now we find ourselves fast forward to 2013. We just went through a whole tour with Choice of Weapon 2012. You know, we released that, went around the world with that record. Now we find ourselves in a situation where we're between albums and we've got to keep moving. This band, if we're not working, if we're not together, the energy is very, very quickly dissipate. And gone are the days when you can disappear for 2 years and, you know, go off to Tibet. We have to stay fully engaged. We want to stay engaged with each other as musicians, as players, everything. So we decided the next, you know, we're looking for a platform, a reason to go out and play. Electric kind of became like the evident, you know, the contender. And that kind of fell into place. We're not celebrating the anniversary of the record or any of that stuff. We're not really interested in that stuff. House of Blues are quite happily celebrating their 20th anniversary off our backs, but we're not celebrating any anniversary. There's no kind of cosmic connection. It's just that we felt that this would be kind of contextually a really good record. And if anything, we're kind of exploring this, a lot of the influences of the Electric album in what we're kind of working on now. So it's all kind of part of the same grouping of ideas. Like, for example, on this tour, we went through Clarksdale, Mississippi, and went to Crossroads, which was something alluded to on in the song King from Prairie Man on the Electric album. Fortuitously, it just happens to work out that we drove through Clarksdale, so there it is. There's something going on, and it's working. It's been great so far. So it's been fantastic.
You know, what's interesting is you have oftentimes professed an appreciation for both Native American cultural influences and those blues influences that were sort of the foundation for music. Are you one of those bands, not unlike Led Zeppelin, where you wrote about those things before actually visiting and experiencing them?
Yeah, I mean, well, to a degree. In terms of the Native American connection, I had that connection when I moved to Canada when I was a kid, so that was something I had direct exposure to. But these are all archetypal themes that exist in many different cultures. You know, blues culture and blues tradition is a mixture of European folk music, you know, African American songs, traditions, even some indigenous native aspects. But these are all archetypal things: living and dying, men, whiskey, women, murder, murder, suffering. You know, all these great Shakespearean themes. So they're very human themes. So in essence, I think that what we see in the blues is like a real incredible vehicle for expressing human life, you know, just basic human existence, and without any real thrill, you know, without any kind of like real esoteric, profound, you know, pronouncement. It's just like real basic guttural music, something in the dirt of that music that's really profound and something we've got away from. And I think that, you know, we're feeling that right now. Maybe because we toured south quite extensively on this tour, playing this body of work, the way we're performing it. I don't know, there's something going on. The mojo is rising again. So it's really interesting.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about exploring the sort of origins of the Electric record. Obviously, there's a different version of that record that's now being packaged and put out as a 2-CD set.
Yes.
Do you explore the original piece compositions or arrangements at all during the live show?
No, but that's a really interesting question. The original concept for that record was I mean, in many ways, it's kind of like a follow-up to Love. You know, with momentum, you keep going, you're writing, you're touring. That was the next natural step for this band. And while we were going through the similar kind of process that we took the Love album, all the influences that we kind of gathered while we've been touring the Love record were kind of coming to the table as well. So we're like, you know, we've been through these extensive American tours. And again, you know, music like Led Zeppelin, for example, become far more important to this band. I guess straight, like maybe the harder blues records of the Doors have become very, very important. And the Stones and, you know, AC/DC in its most basic form, probably more Bon Scott period AC/DC. And then hip-hop, believe it or not, because hip-hop was the actual linking factor between Rick Rubin and the Cult, not rock, it was hip-hop. Because we discovered Rick Rubin through Beastie Boys. So I thought that kind of production with what we were kind of being influenced by was the way to go forward. And with the Peace record, that was much more textural, kind of more cinematic. You know, it was much more dense record, and we really wanted to make something stripped down and quite direct. So it would be a very interesting thing, though, to go and revisit that work, you know, and maybe perform it somewhere. I don't know, maybe rehearsal. But we'd do the Peace Tour. That'd be really, really interesting. But that whole thing with Beggar's Banquet, they just happened to coincide with us doing these dates. They weren't. They own our catalog. You know, we have no control of what they do. We're not celebrating, like I said, the anniversary of the record. We're not great nostalgists. But they own the catalog. They just want to see what we're putting out anyway. So we asked them if they'd do the original artwork. And because we never got to do it back then. The piece never really came to fruition. So now we have the actual document of both records together. It's really interesting.
You have had sort of a love-hate, antagonistic, anti-authority relationship with both the record industry, your former record label, sometimes your current record label, oftentimes your future record label. You've talked about the end of the album as an entity, as a viable musical entity, and yet here you are. The pendulum sort of swings back and forth. Do you have a love-hate, no pun intended, relationship with what you do in the business of the Cult?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're talking about the medium of making music is an emotive form. It's an emotional form. You get down to brass. The commodity of the music industry is human beings and experience and emotion. And it's an amorphous. There is no one product. You know, it's like it's human experience is broad and vast. So it's not one size fits all. So sometimes when you're doing something that fits for one format, doesn't necessarily fit well from another format. And our music label, they're in the music business. The business isn't art. The business is to make money. The business is not art. There are a few labels who are driven by art who are broke. There's labels who are driven by business, the economy of making money. So they determine terms, they try and dictate terms and working environments. They're unacceptable. To the artist, you know. So we always fight for what's best for the art, for the music, for the creative process. And that's the way. I don't see it changing.
Now, is the Cult 2013 still Billy and John and Chris?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent.
This is the longest Cult that's ever been a Cult. This is probably the most grounded band that we've ever had. I mean, we have James Stevenson playing rhythm guitar with us now. Mike Jim Kitch went off. After like being with the band for 15 years. But James actually played with us in 94, 95, and he's a friend from London. He's an excellent, incredible musician. And it's actually, the sound is, he plays a Les Paul and a Marshall as well, whereas Mike plays a Les Paul Jr. Through a smaller kind of setup. James's setup is like much more like Billy's in many ways. So the rhythm, the actual rhythms that you hear on electric are much closer to the way that James Stevenson played. So it's very interesting that the sound's filled out for pretty raucous, actually.
I would say it goes without saying that you have to see the Cult live, but that's why we're here. You have to see the Cult live on Thursday night over at the Celebrity Theater. Electric 13 is coming through town. Ian Asprey, lead vocalist and one of my favorite musicians on the face of the planet. Thank you for taking some time out for us here at KDKB again, man.
Thank you, brother.